Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The Julia Hartley Brewer Podcast.
Ruthless but fair. Julia Hartley Brewer.
Comprehensive coverage of all the news stories that matter to you.
Harder, older, Hartley Brewer.
The Julia Hartley Brewer Podcast from Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Julia Hartley Brewer. You are with Talk TV. Now, Labour leader Sir Keir Starmer is going to confirm today that he is ditching the party's £28 billion green investment pledge. It's his latest policy flip-flop. What a surprise. Joining me right now is former Green Party leader, Baroness Natalie Bennett. Good morning to you, Lady Bennett.
Good morning, former leader, and please make it Natalie. Well,
did it not say that? I do apologise. I thought it did say that. But anyway, thank you very much indeed for joining us. It's another flip-flop. I think a lot of people are expecting that this policy wasn't going to last all the way to a general election campaign, given the criticism of it and the funding of it. Is it a good thing or a bad thing that Starmer has ditched this policy?
Obviously, it's a bad thing. And I think you pointed to when you started this discussion, saying how many people are caring. Well, of course, it's getting colder now at the moment. We're having sort of what we might hope to be the last cold blast of winter. And lots of people are looking at the heating and thinking, dare I switch it on? Can I afford it? What we're talking about, we talk about green measures, but these are the kind of investment in infrastructure that we desperately need. Things like insulating our homes, which could save people hundreds of pounds a year on their energy bills and make their homes warm and comfortable. Things like having good public transport systems, decent buses, which can save people money in terms of being able to get to work. So what we're talking about is a real collapse in the investment we need to make people's lives better and tackle our environmental issues. As you pointed to, the issue of you described it as flip-flopping, the lack of consistency. We've had more than a decade of a Tory government where green policies have slid all over the place. People might recall when the feed-in tariff was taken away from solar panels and a whole lot of small businesses around the country collapsed. We need consistency and we need investment in the quality of people's lives. And what we're clearly getting from Labour is neither.
Okay. You mentioned a number of policies. A lot of people would like their homes to be insulated, but of course, you know, the cost of that, a Tory estimate of the cost of Labour's policy on the insulating homes, it would be far greater than Labour had suggested. Also, by the way, try and find builders in large parts of the country these days. Good luck with that. A lot of people don't want to have that work done. It involves not just something that's happening externally, you know, inject something. It involves actual building work in their home, which they can't afford, the extra redecoration and things like that. They actually don't want to do it, don't have the money for it. But we're constantly told that, you know, if it's green energy, if it's green policy, it's going to involve us all saving money. And certainly Labour's policies say, you know, this is about creating jobs. Investment is the word, not spending, investment. Creating jobs and having lower bills. There's no evidence that bills get lower when we have renewable energy, because, as you know, renewable energy involving things like wind and solar has to be backed up by completely reliable energy, in the case of electricity, nuclear power, but also gas and other fossil fuels as well. Now, the reality is, once you have to kind of double up, it doesn't become cheaper. And the companies you talked about that went under was because we stopped the massive subsidies of those companies. Taxpayers pay for all of that. This isn't a win for the... this policy was going ahead, this wouldn't be a win for the average taxpayer. They'd be out of pocket.
If you're looking at evidence, of course, the cheapest energy that we could possibly have would be to be having onshore wind, which we're still not seeing any more of that installed.
No, it wouldn't, Natalie.
And we could also have solar.
It wouldn't because it has to be backed. No, you can't make a statement. It wouldn't be because it has to be subsidised because it has to be backed up by nuclear. So if you have to build nuclear power stations for when the wind doesn't blow, which it regularly doesn't, and particularly in the winter months when we really need to have energy that's reliable. You know, you can shake your head, but it is a matter of fact that the wind often doesn't blow enough to produce enough energy. So you need the backup. So you're paying for energy twice.
I'm afraid, Julie, you're really stuck in the 20th century old-fashioned ideas here.
What did I say
one
that
of
wasn't
the ways
true?
In which you back up renewables is, of course, we have interconnectors with the continent. The wind is blowing somewhere. We interconnect with those. There's also
get all our energy from abroad. Okay. And when France says we're going to cut off electricity to us, which they've threatened to the Channel Islands in the last couple of years, that's not going to be an issue for you.
And we export to them and we make money when we export to them. The interconnectors, of course, go both ways. Mm-hmm. And so what we could also be doing, what people could have now is solar panels, and some people, increasing number of people are, solar panels on the roof and a electric battery in the kitchen that charges the electric car. You're essentially not relying on the grid. You have very cheap electricity that's there supplied to you all the time.
And when the sun isn't shining, what do you do? Because you know as well as I do, we don't have the battery storage.
Well, as I was just saying, thinking of looking at the individual household, when the sun isn't shining and you want to put the washing machine or the dishwasher on, you draw on the battery. You draw on the battery to charge your car.
Yeah.
You can also have
how long does it last?
Whereby you draw money, the cars, it's known as vehicle to grid. Cars, the energy, the electricity is stored in cars, and then it's transferred back to use when you need it. So what you have is a flexible floating system. It's not a case of you just have pipe coming in, drawing out of it.
It all sounds absolutely wonderful. Isn't it strange that a lot of the countries that are trying to drag themselves out of, you know, basically third world developing nation status, India and China, where vast numbers of people are still very poor, and many countries in Africa, isn't it funny how they're not going down this route, even though apparently it's cheaper, it's more reliable, it's wonderful, and yet for some reason they're going for fossil fuels? I mean, they must all be crazy, these people, huh?
I don't think you possibly know about China that has by far the largest number of electric buses in the world.
Oh,
China
brilliant.
Has enormous...
And how do they power their electricity?
With an enormous fast-growing wind in particular.
They build new fossil fuel power gas stations and coal-fired stations virtually every week in China. They also use gas and coal-powered stations... To power the factories that make the wind turbines and the solar panels for the West. And they are laughing their heads off at us while they do it.
Julia, you are, I'm afraid, at least 10 years out of date.
No, I'm not. Those are figures for last year. Genuinely, I'm not even quoting figures.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I know for a fact they are still building those power stations. They are still mostly reliant on fossil fuels.
They are heading in the direction of renewables, and indeed, I'll have a
meeting
with them next week from an African country talking about the urgent desire for technology transfer. Countries are absolutely desperate to get the renewable technology for us to transfer that technology to them to help them develop.
The people of poorer countries
doesn't give them air pollution.
No, they want affordable gas and oil. That's what they really want because it's cheaper and more reliable. Can I ask you about another policy? I know you're a former Green Party leader, but in terms of Labour's policies that still stand, one of them, of course, is their policy that by 2030, if they were in power, Britain would be the only sort of large economy that would have 100% green electricity. Now, electricity is only 20% of our energy needs in this country. Of course, doesn't power most of our vehicles, heat our homes, power our factories. However, 100% clean. That would be wind, solar, and also nuclear. Given that we've seen yet more delays on nuclear power plants being developed, given how long it takes to get those sort of projects through, given that our nuclear power plants are actually being closed at a faster rate and reaching the end of their shelf life quicker than we can build a new one, is that policy of Labour's remotely possible?
Well, I think to pick up the nuclear point, first of all, I mean, this is a point where you and I may be on agreement that nuclear is extremely slow and difficult, and there's been many delays and huge costs. New nuclear is not the answer to our energy problems.
Oh, no, I think nuclear is the answer. I disagree with you on that. It's not nuclear that's the problem. It's the government systems and the policies and the protests by green groups and the like that are the problem.
Well, I think if you look at what happened in Finland and what happened in France, two of the newest nuclear reactors that have been built, the delays, the massive cost overruns were not caused by protesters. They were caused by technological problems, skills shortages, and the sheer difficulty of building new nuclear, when what we should be doing is renewables. They are our energy future. Yes, we could do what Labour is suggesting by 2030, but of course it requires the investment. It acquires the will, and it needs the consistency of policy. And I think that's a point where we can perhaps find a point of agreement, Julia, about Labour flip-flopping, that businesses need the certainty to be able to invest in the future. They need policies. They know what's coming. They know what's going to be there this year, next year, and the year after.
That's true.
So they can keep investing.
I agree with that. However, when a policy is uncosted, unachievable, and not desirable, I would rather they dropped it.
And so you were talking about the shortage of skills, and you know, people need to be able to know that if I go and get myself trained as a wind turbine engineer, if I go and get myself trained as a solar installer, that there's going to be the certainty. If I want to set up a small independent business, people need that certainty.
They want to know they're going to still get those subsidies.
We've had 13 years of Tory flip-flopping, and that's left the British economy in the current state it is now, and it's also left our skills shortage in the state it is now.
OK. Just one final, really brief question. Are you worried, part of the Green Party, that Labour have stolen a lot of your green clothes and that you're going to not reap the benefits of that at the next election?
I think, Julia, that's a really odd question to ask on the day that Labour has actually dropped their flagship green policy.
People know
that if they want green, they need to vote green. That's clearer than ever before today.
All right, then. Natalie Bennett, Baroness Bennett, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Former Green Party leader. Still with me in the studio is Philip Ingram, former senior military intelligence officer. I always love this one. I love Natalie, but I always love this this argument that's like, oh, this is what the third world, the developing world is crying out for. No, they want cheap, reliable, secure energy. That's fossil fuels.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if the third world wanted that, you would have we'd have most of the Sahara and Africa covered in solar panels. Now, I don't know why it isn't becoming the battery for the world.
But it's so cheap and it's so reliable.
Of course.
Why are they not doing it?
And the environmental impact of getting out the rare earth metals that are needed to put together the
slavery workforce
and everything else, that doesn't seem to be taken.
And the wind turbines that last, 12, 15 years max, then what do we do with them? There's going to be these, in years to come, there's going to be these sort of big graveyards of large wind turbines. I mean, I loathe the things. I think they're an absolute blight on our landscape. But if they worked, have them all offshore, brilliant, if we could do that. But it's the fact that if you have wind turbines, you've also got to have a nuclear power station or a gas power station sitting there ready to go. You may as well just have nuclear.
Yeah, the real answer, is, as you say, is nuclear. And in the future, hopefully, we get fusion. But nuclear, there needs to be something to accelerate the building of nuclear.
Well, I'm old-fashioned. I believe in the human race and our technological ability. We've done everything so far. Our ability in the future, probably the next 20, 30, 40 8 years to come up with some new amazing energy resource that will change the world in the same way that electricity. Yeah, exactly. Electricity has changed the world, and motor cars and computers have changed the world. We will come up with something. This very negative view of humanity. So we're a plague on the planet, and everything we do is wrong. It's an absolute load of nonsense. It's just such a strange Malthusian, miserable view of the world.
It is, but it suits the priorities for the people that are saying that, and it's soundbite politics for the next election.
And the people who want to tell everyone else how to live their lives. Exactly. Those people, they love that, don't they? We're all awful. Go and carry on being awful, everybody. Anyway, today we're asking you about that pledge to ditch Labour's £28 billion green investment plan. That's what we're hearing, we're told, from Keir Starmer today. Just want to know your reaction. Give us a call, 0344 499 1000.
The Julia Hartley Brewer Podcast.
Ruthless but fair. Julia Hartley Brewer.
Comprehensive coverage of all the news stories that matter to you.
Harder, older, Hartley Brewer.
The Julia Hartley Brewer Podcast from Talk Radio.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.